The scariest thing that ever happened to me on Halloween was back when I was living in Liverpool for university. Halloween is always a big night for students, as is any yearly event that involves dressing up and getting absolutely wasted. But since Halloween is a really good excuse to wear considerably less clothes than usual, party-oriented students tend to get particularly excited about it. So I'm in second year at this point, living with a bunch of my student mates just off Smithton Road, which is where loads of students can get shared houses for really cheap rent. We heard that this big house party was happening just down the road from us, one of those that had its own little Facebook events page set up to keep track of invites and give people directions to the house. I remember my mates sitting around the kitchen table, all staring at the screen as they went through all the profiles of girls they said that were attending. I mean, some of them were absolutely gorgeous, so we were all definitely hyped about it. Only just a few days before Halloween, I started to feel really, really grim. I had the shakes, I was running to and from the toilet every half an hour to erupt from both ends, and I could barely keep any food down. This persisted for like 48 hours straight, and thankfully it had abated by Halloween itself, but I still felt way too rough to do any serious partying. The last thing I wanted was to end up browning myself in front of like half the girls at our uni. I mean, every lad wants to be a legend, don't they, but for the right reasons. So anyway, on the day of the house party, despite my mates insisting I make an appearance and throw together a costume, I had made the firm decision to stay at home and chill for the evening. As much as I felt like I'm missing out, I just didn't feel up to it. So about 7-ish, my mates are pre-drinking in the kitchen, while I'm up in my room looking to order the spiciest curry I could get my hands on, in the hopes that it would purge the rest of the sickness out of me, so I could start the following week feeling fresh again. So about the time I'm burning my face off with a little chicken vindaloo, my mates are just about to head off down to the house party for a night of debauchery. There are a few final pleas for me to join them, but these are all violently rebuked. There might have been a chance of me joining them before the curry, but afterwards, no chance. I was in a full-on food coma. So a couple of hours later, I'm just chilling on the couch and wondering why British Netflix had such a dire collection of horror films, when there's a knock at our front door. My first thought is that there's been some kind of puke-related disaster and one of the lads had to come back to get a change of clothes before heading back to the house party. I mean, this wasn't entirely out of the question, since the house party was only around the corner, safe staggering distance for anyone that had drank too much too quickly. But it then occurred to me that there was a chance it could have been trick-or-treaters. Smithton has a big mix of residential and student housing, so there's also a decent chance it could have been kids looking for sweets. So to save the house getting egged, I legged it into the kitchen and grabbed a few bits from the cupboards to offer any potential trick-or-treaters. But when I answered the door, Mars bars in hand, there was no one there. Maybe I'd just taken too long grabbing sweets, or maybe it was just some knock-and-run type deal. But either way, there was no one to be seen. So I just head back inside, plonk myself down on the couch, and get back to digesting a ton of curry that I'd just eaten. A short while later, I'm still watching Netflix, about ready to doze off when something in the corner of the living room catches my eye. You know when you're so used to looking at a certain something that just the oddest little difference catches your eye? Well, I happened to notice that there was a little less of the orange streetlights outside coming through the little crack between the curtains and the window. Like this dark shape was outside, standing at the window. I sit up all nervous and it disappears from view, allowing me to see the orange light illuminating the street once again. Someone had been watching me. I got up, rushed to the cupboard under the stairs to grab my housemate's cricket bat, then edged toward the front door. I threw it open, ready to swing at whatever was out there, but again, there was nothing. I started to feel like I was going mental at that point, that maybe I was just exhausted from being sick for most of the week. I hadn't slept very well at all during the few days prior to Halloween, and I tried to reassure myself that maybe I was just a wee bit jumpy from being overtired. I decided it was best that I get an early night, telling myself that I'd feel much better in the morning. I did a bit of washing up, got a shower, then put on some comfy clothes to get ready for bed, but just as I do, there's another knock on the door. Only this time I can clearly hear some young sounding voice go trick or treat from the other side of the door. I'd almost jumped out of my skin when I heard the door go, but the voice was weirdly reassuring. I mean, it was only trick or treaters, right? The worst that could happen was I got a few eggs thrown at me or some toilet paper lashed over the house. I walked downstairs, grabbed the handful of Mars bars I'd fished out of the cupboard, then opened up the front door. I was expecting to see a gaggle of school-aged kids, maybe accompanied by an adult supervising them, but there was just one smallish-looking figure stood in the pathway of our shared house. They couldn't have been any older than a teenager, but they definitely looked a little bit too old to be trick-or-treating. I don't imagine that they'd been particularly intimidating otherwise, but the mask they were wearing seriously gave me the creeps. It looked old, like it smelled like disgusting unwashed latex on the inside. I'm not even sure it was meant to be a Halloween mask at all. It was like an old man's face with these tiny black eyes and a big white smile stretching from ear to ear. I made some derisive comment to him like, "Aren't you a bit too old to be trick-or-treating?" But held the handful of Mars bars out towards him anyway. I reckoned he'd just tell me to bugger off and snatch the sweets off me and leg it down the path. But he didn't. The lad just stood there, looking at me from behind the mask, not even moving to take the chocolate bars off me. I asked him if he was all right, starting to actually get creeped out by his behavior on top of the weird old mask he was wearing. But still, he didn't say anything. There was something intensely creepy about not being able to see his actual eyes behind that mask, and the longer we stood there in silence, just staring at each other, the more I felt myself begin to tense up. Then right as I'm about to just give him an awkward goodbye and shut the door, I hear a loud noise coming from behind me. I didn't really think the situation through. I just reacted, running into the kitchen at the back of the house where the noise was coming from, just in time to see someone smash the back door open. About 3 or 4 people then pour into the kitchen, all wearing masks, some armed with bats, others with these big knives in their hands. I turn around and leg it back towards the front door, planning on running upstairs to my room where my phone was charging to bring the police. But to my absolute horror, blocking the way to the stairs was the little lad with the mask on. Only this time, he had a knife in his hand too. He'd been in on this whole thing that whole time, and as he pointed the knife in my direction, all I could do was raise my hands in this "please don't stab me" type of way. "Get on the floor," he said, in this voice that seriously sounded like he was no older than about 14. Like he legit sounded like a kid, and that scared me even more. A grown man might have the presence of mind to not hurt anyone and keep the severity of their crimes to a minimum, but a kid, I thought he might just stab me up for the fun of it. I'd heard stories about gangs all over the world making younger kids commit violence to just sort of prove themselves, and that's what had me shaking as I lay down on the carpeted floor in the hallway, face down with my hands on the back of my head. I listened as the gang just completely ransacked the house. I couldn't see exactly what they were taking, but I heard them mentioning laptops and phones a fair bit, laughing to themselves as they absolutely raided each and every room in the house. At some points, I heard smashing and crashing noises as they just took it upon themselves to commit as much wanton destruction as they liked, giggling maniacally to each other as they realized they had the time and freedom to do pretty much whatever they fancied. I thought if I just lay there, keeping still and quiet, that they'd leave me alone. But that was just wishful thinking on my part. Obviously, they had to make their way through the hallway a fair few times, and when they did, they'd either literally walk all over me, which was painful enough, or they'd get in a few kicks here and there just to hear me grimace. I think the worst part of the physical abuse was when I heard one of them say, "Kick him in the balls, lad," to one of their mates. I tried to shut my legs, but they still aimed a few kicks between my thighs. Luckily, I was kind of tucked up, if you know what I mean, and there wasn't anything too delicate exposed, but still, the idea of getting my bollocks crushed under the trainer of some disgusting little thug had my heart practically jumping out of my throat. It sort of reminded me of that scene from A Clockwork Orange. They were there to rob us. That was bloody obvious, but They clearly took a great deal of joy in just being able to terrorize someone for a bit, and they seemed to get a real kick out of realizing that I wasn't from Liverpool. At some point, I said something like, "Just take what you want. Please don't hurt me." And they burst out laughing. I wouldn't say I'm posh by any stretch of the imagination, but I'd definitely say I'm well more spoken than your average scouser. They started mimicking me in these little voices, stamping on my head and kicking me. I just lay there, wishing I'd never said anything. After what seemed like forever, listening to those kids ferrying out belongings into the alley behind the house, they finally left, but not before putting one of their knives to my throat and telling me that they'd be back to cut my head off if they so much as even saw a police officer in the area. Then as quickly as they'd all appeared, they just ghosted. I waited for a long time before I found it in me to stand up, and as I tried, my knees were way shakier than I'd care to admit. I went from room to room surveying the destruction. The place was a mess. But the thing that amazed and gutted me more than anything else was the sheer amount of stuff they'd taken. God knows how they'd got it all away from the house, but they'd taken the TVs, our game consoles, audio equipment, pretty much anything electrical that wasn't nailed down. It also looked like they'd taken pretty much all our trainers and had raided our closets for any clothes that took their liking. I wanted to call the police, really did, but with what phone? I'm almost glad I got a few kicks to the head, otherwise the sense of shame and humiliation might have been too much to bear. I ended up knocking at my neighbors' houses, but unlike me, they were way too smart to answer their doors to strangers on Halloween. It was probably the single worst experience of my life up to that point. I had to just go back inside the house and sit there in the living room couch with my head in my hands, just trying not to hold back tears. It was hours before any of my drunken housemates arrived back. Before that, I think I just sort of sat there at the kitchen table, in the one room that hadn't been completely ransacked, just drinking a few tins of lager, feeling absolutely shell-shocked, until finally two of them who hadn't polled returned home. And that's about the end of it. There's no real resolution to the story. The police couldn't do anything other than take down a list of what had been stolen in the hopes that any of the laptops turned up in pawn shops, but we never heard back about anything involving that. It was weird in that house for a long while after. I used to think the other lads blamed me for what happened, for not defending the house property, but I realized that was just the trauma from that night making me doubt myself. I had nightmares for a while, a long while actually. And in the end, my parents paid for a few counseling sessions to help me get through my skull that what happened that night really wasn't my fault, how it could have happened to anyone. I got past it in time, but to this day, it remains the single most terrifying event of my entire life. I grew up in rural Iowa, the kind of place where it's just cornfields for miles and miles around. It was a pretty terrible place to grow up. Like, it'll always be home to me, and I'll always have a fair amount of affection for it. Home is where the heart is, and all that nonsense, but even from the earliest age I can remember, I couldn't wait to leave. Like, put it this way, Halloween has always been my favorite holiday, but unlike the kids who trick-or-treat over in Cedar Rapids or Waterloo, who had actual neighborhoods to harvest whole sacks of candy from, we'd have to walk like a mile and a half at a time just to make it to the next house. So aside from the one year where our mom drove us over to Dyersville so we could actually get a taste of how those city kids lived, trick-or-treating just wasn't really an option for us. So a little backstory here. The last year we were allowed to go trick-or-treating, our immediate neighbor to the east, who lived like 3 miles away, basically told us to buzz off because we were getting way too big to be playing kids' games. This guy has begrudgingly given us a few apples some years, and we always sort of resented him for it. But that year, when he told us where to go, it made us downright hate him. I mean, for the entirety of the next year, me and my brother would scowl whenever my dad drove us past his house. To us, he ruined the one good thing we got to do around Halloween each year. I know we were just dumb kids, but kids are also cruel and stubborn on occasion, and I guess we were just that kind of kid. So the next year, my mom decides to take us over to Living History Farms over in Urbandale. Living History Farms is this place over near Des Moines that bills itself as interactive outdoor museum, which teaches people about Midwestern rural life experiences. Obviously, we weren't thrilled about the visit. It wasn't exactly exciting for two boys in their early teens. I mean, learning about some of the origins of Halloween was pretty cool. I mean, a kid like me was all about hearing how Halloween was the night when spirits of the dead returned to Earth to wreak havoc on those that had wronged them in life. However, there was one particular little educational tidbit that got me and my brother's attention, and that was the stories of how our Iowan ancestors use Halloween as a night to play all kinds of pranks on each other. Pulling up cabbages and shrubs out of the garden was a common trick. Wagons were pushed into the lane or the street, or if the kids were feeling ambitious, they'd hoist the cars up on top of the victim's barn roof. But the most common mischief was taking your neighbor's garden or barnyard gates off the hinges and leaving it in someone else's yard. I remember the teacher lady telling us this, then me and my brother just looking at each other with this wordless kind of communication like, "Oh, the neighbor is gonna get it this year." So that year, we snuck out of the house in the early hours of the morning, walked down to the neighbor's place with a screwdriver and hammer, and then did exactly that. We took his front gate off the hinges, walked it like a mile down the road to his other neighbor's place, then left it in the front yard. We did stuff like that for the next couple of years, each time getting progressively more bold, screwing with him harder and harder until it got to the point that we struggled to top the previous year's prank. Like it got to the point where we stole a huge section of his white picket fence and just threw it into the cornfield across the highway. I mean, we put some actual work into that, dismantling it piece by piece so as not to make too much noise and wake the guy. I mean, it sucked that we never got to hang around to see his reaction, but I guess imagining him going outside in the morning and going insane with rage was enough to keep us amused. So this one year, we rocked up to his house in the middle of the night and saw something we'd never expected to see in a million years. The neighbor guy obviously hated Halloween and never ever put up any decorations or anything. But that year, we turned up to see this Grim Reaper figure on his porch. It wasn't just some dumb-looking scarecrow type thing either. It seemed like the guy had put in a lot of work getting hold of an actual mannequin of something, as well as all this spooky-looking black robe stuff to dress it in. But since he was a farmer, he didn't have much trouble getting hold of the old rusty scythe that was leaning up against it. I mean, yeah, it was kind of intimidating. He'd obviously only put it there to try to scare us off, but we weren't about to be put off from our little year ritual at this point. Nothing short of a tornado could deter us from getting our revenge for having been so mean to us that Halloween night. But right as we started to dismantle his fence in almost absolute silence, I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. Or rather, I noticed the lack of something. So subtle that it actually takes me a minute to realize what I wasn't looking at. At some point, as we were taking his fence apart, the Grim Reaper statue thing had just up and disappeared. I stopped what I'm doing, looking around the front yard and trying to spot where it could have gone. I whisper over to my brother like, "The Reaper's gone. Did you see it move?" And at first he looked at me like I'm crazy. But then he too starts getting pretty freaked out. We're just crouched down, tools in hand, in the dead silence of the night, realizing that we'd been a little bit overconfident in our yearly pranks. I mean, we didn't quite realize what was happening at the time, only that things were about to go horribly wrong for us. "Let's get out of here," my brother whispered, and we immediately get up and start sort of jogging back towards the highway. Then, out of nowhere, the Grim Reaper is just standing there in front of us, with that big old rusty scythe in his hand, blocking our escape. It hadn't been a mannequin that was set up on the neighbor guy's porch. It was actually him. He'd dressed up like some dumb decoration and just stood there, still as a statue, waiting for the pranksters to arrive. There was like one drawn-out moment where we just sort of locked eyes with the guy who had taken down the hood of the black robes he was wearing, and then we just bolted. but since he was blocking the way to the road out front, we had to run back through his property, climbing over a fence and into a cornfield to get away from him. He was really fast for an older guy too. Like maybe it was just all that anger from having been victimized year after year, but somehow he wasn't weighed down by that scythe and those robes, which for some reason he'd opted to keep on. Didn't slow him down either. I was scared, sure, but I figured we'd be able to get away, but remember how I said we had to scale a fence to get away? Well, jumping down the other side didn't go too well for me, and I badly sprained my ankle when I landed. That was when I really got terrified, when I realized I couldn't actually get away from the guy. My brother just kept running, and I wanted to shout after him to help me, but I knew the shout would give away my position to the guy, so I just kept my mouth shut. So picture the scene. I'm hiding out in the cornfield, so scared that I'm actually covering my mouth to keep from breathing too heavy, while this furious scythe-armed guy is stalking up and down the rows looking for me. So every so often, I had to just sort of limp to a hiding spot further away from him, trying my best not to rustle any of the stalks so I wouldn't betray my hiding spot. I mean, thank God it was the middle of the night, and maybe the guy's eyesight or hearing was just failing him in general, but I managed not to get myself caught. I just kept on stumbling further and further away until he just gave up and headed back to his house. But Jesus Christ, it was completely and utterly terrifying, hearing him say all this stuff like, "I'm gonna cut you up into little pieces and feed you to my pigs." Like the voice of his was telling me he meant every word of what he said. So yeah, as you can imagine, I was pretty close to peeing my pants, knowing that I just couldn't get away fast enough. Needless to say, we didn't try any more pranks on that guy after that. I made up some excuse to my parents as to how I'd hurt my ankle and then just used it as an excuse to stay home until it had healed, given that I was super paranoid about the neighbor guy figuring out who exactly had been victimizing him year after year. But yeah, that's my story. I know it's probably not the scariest thing you'd ever heard, and I know that we kind of deserve what we got in the end.